In this week's market update, shares rebound in October, central banks are poised to change direction, and the difficult investment questions as COP26 gets underway. The difficult September-October period came to a positive conclusion at the weekend, having fallen around 5% from peak levels during the first of those 2 months. The second has seen a rapid rebound. That's a big relief for investors, but all the questions that hung over markets 2 months ago remain in focus. There's lots to play for in what remains of 2021. So let's look at the main equity markets over the past 2 months. The S&P 500 ended September 5% down on the end of August, but have more than clawed back the deficit by the end of October to be 2% up over the period as a whole. For global stocks, the MSCI World Index, that is, it was down 4% in September, but 1% up for the whole two-month period. Closer to home, the FTSE 100 pretty much ignored the US wobble in September and has continued nudging higher to clock a nearly 2% gain for the period. European shares did follow the US lower, but have also bounced back to where they started. Really, it's only emerging markets which are struggling to regain their poise. They're still just over 3% down on that two-month period. So all in all, the usual seasonal nerves were kept at bay this year, despite the pretty long list of things to worry about. One reason for the relatively sanguine market performance has been yet another unusually good earnings season so far. We've now had around half of the S&P 500 constituents reporting, 279 companies by the end of last week, and the overall forecast growth rate for year-on-year earnings now stands at 37%. At the start of the earnings season, it was expected to be 28%. Now, that's pretty much in line with the experience of the first two quarters of 2021, which saw initial expectations massively outpaced by actual results. In the first quarter, an expected 24% earnings rise came out at 54% by the end of the season. In the second quarter, the forecast 64% gain was actually 96%. Earnings are the most important driver of share prices in the long run. So it's possibly unsurprising that the continuing delivery of profits growth is turning out to be more important than concerns about inflation, interest rates, and the much more intangible climate fears that are hogging the headlines this week. To deal with the first of those concerns, monetary policy is firmly in the spotlight this week, as many of the most important central banks are slated to make announcements on rates and other monetary measures this week. The most important, of course, is the Federal Reserve, which is expected to unveil on Wednesday evening the start of a reduction in its pandemic-era bond purchases. The forecast is that the $120 billion a month program will be reduced by about $15 billion a month until it finally grinds to a halt sometime next summer. Only when that process is completed will interest rate hikes come into the equation. But expectations are increasing on that front too, with two rises forecast for 2022 and a total of seven within the next 5 years to 2026. The pressure on the Fed to act has been ratcheted up this week by some of the world's smaller central banks making their own moves to get ahead of an increasingly inflationary curve. The Bank of Canada has already announced that it will end its asset purchase program and raised its inflation forecast, which might accelerate its tightening timetable. Meanwhile, in Australia, bond market moves are pointing to an imminent end to the lucky country's recent policy of managing yields. The yield on a bond maturing in 2024 rose to 0.8% last Friday, well above the Reserve Bank of Australia's 0.1% target, suggesting it has abandoned efforts to keep a lid on yields. That upward move in yield followed a release of data showing that inflation has moved back into the 2 to 3% target range for the first time in 6 years. Investors will be watching this week's central bank meeting for further insights on this. Here in the UK, the Bank of England will announce its latest interest rate decision on Thursday, and speculation is mounting that rates could move off the 0.1% emergency pandemic level where they've been since early last year. Investors have been increasing their bets on the bank being first out of the blocks this week, ever since the last meeting in September, when the minutes said that a rate rise before the end of 2021 was a possibility. Since then, there have been several speeches by policymakers, including Andrew Bailey, the governor, which have made no attempt to rein in that speculation. It will be quite difficult for the bank to hold off on a rate rise now, having warmed markets up for it. Just how sustainable all this tightening turns out to be remains a moot point. The yields on different maturities of bonds, which added together create the so-called yield curve, are hinting at a central bank policy mistake in the making. The implication of these different yields is that rates might rise too quickly in the short term, only to choke off recovery and force a retreat further out. This is what is meant by a flattening yield curve, in which longer-term rates are no higher than short ones. Concern about growth further out was one of the key conclusions of last week's budget here in the UK. Although the Chancellor was able to throw out plenty of fiscal sweeteners in a gung-ho budget full of Boris Johnson-like optimism, the numbers tell a slightly different story. Although growth in GDP this year and next is expected to be above 6% as the economy gets back on its feet after COVID, the longer-term outlook is for a retreat back to the sluggish growth rates that the world has seen since the financial crisis. Now, this could have big implications for tax policy in Britain in the years ahead, because the government's desired combination of targeted increases in spending but falling tax rates before the next election is dependent on a higher level of economic growth than is currently in the forecasts. The other big topic in markets this week is climate change, with COP26 opening hot on the heels of the G20 summit in Rome. The meeting of the world's biggest economies at the weekend was dominated by the same global warming topics that will be debated in Glasgow over the coming 2 weeks. And the challenge of how to make COP26 a success were clear to see. G20 leaders did agree to phase out the financing of coal power in overseas markets, but crucially, they stopped short of agreeing to phase it out in their home markets. US President Joe Biden called out Russia, China, and Saudi Arabia. He said, more has to be done, but we need to focus on what China is not doing, what Russia is not doing, and what Saudi Arabia is not doing. One of the big clouds hanging over the Glasgow summit is the apparent lukewarm support of China and Russia, who've declined to send their leaders to what is being billed as the last chance to avert climate catastrophe. To avoid that, there's general agreement that carbon emissions need to be cut in half within the next 10 years, with net zero emissions reached by 2050, and global temperature rises capped at less than 1.5% compared with pre-industrial levels. Current commitments by individual countries are nowhere near big enough to achieve that. For investors, one of the biggest moral questions at the moment is the fact that in an increasingly inflationary environment, history suggests that the best performing sectors are often those most at odds with meeting the climate challenge. In the inflationary periods of the 1940s, the 1970s, and shorter ones in the late 80s and before the financial crisis, the energy sector was consistently the best performer. Financials and consumer discretionary stocks were the most consistent underperformers in these inflationary environments. Back in 2006, former presidential hopeful Al Gore described the inconvenient truth of climate change. It really would be a very inconvenient truth if the best performing sectors in the key months and years ahead, as far as the planet is concerned, turned out to be the most polluting. And finally, the Japanese stock market has started the week on the front foot after a bigger than expected victory for the business-friendly Liberal Democratic Party under new Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. He cleverly staged the election ahead of schedule to capitalize on falling COVID infection rates and the normalization of economic activity in Japan. It paid off. Markets tend to like LDP majorities, believing that a stable government will allow more economic stimulus measures. Details are not clear yet, but they're thought to include cash benefits for single-parent households, employees and students, as well as for medium and smaller businesses affected by the pandemic. And perhaps a renewal of domestic travel subsidies, which were introduced last year.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.